Luke chapter 1. Now, have you ever been asked to speak about anything that you had no idea what it was? A few heads are nodding. Well, you see, about a month ago, Pete contacted me and he said, can you speak on Zechariah's song? So, thank you, yeah, that's great. Now, this is a wonderful opportunity to say thank you to John Leslie, because every week we pick up our notices, week in and week out. But somebody's got to do all that. And every Monday, John does the notices for us. So, John, thank you. And on a Friday, he comes and photocopies them. Anyway, about a couple of weeks after Pete phoned me, John phones me up. He's doing his notices, you see, for the Sunday. And he says, what's this Benedictus? And I said, John, I haven't a clue. I said, I'll Google it. So I Googled Benedictus and Zechariah song. But I love the way you asked me, because I understood that, you see. So, but anyway, Valerie's going to read to us later Zechariah's song, but I'm not going to speak about it, because Zechariah's song is in the context of something that is much more wonderful, and I want to look tonight with you at the big picture where that song fits into. So Luke chapter 1. Now, you've probably noticed this, but when Luke's gospel opens, everything is closed. Pete and Gary touched on this last week. But when Luke's gospel opens, the nation of Israel had been in existence for 2,000 years, about. And for the first 1,500 years of that period, God had regularly spoken to his people. At the very beginning, when you had the patriarchs, that was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God spoke to them directly. But for most of the time, God spoke to his people through prophets. But for the 400 years before Luke opens his gospel, there had been no prophet. There had been no word from the Lord. And the heavens, in that respect, had been silent. And then look with me at chapter 1, verse 6, because something else is closed. There was this lovely couple. I'm saying they're a lovely couple, I never met them. But there was this lovely couple, elderly couple, and I like the way the authorized version puts it, they were well stricken in years. James Ingram, who was the longest serving minister in the world, when he died at the age of 103, minister up in Unst, when he was in his 60s, he was described as well stricken in years. So, that doesn't do much for some of us, does it? But anyway, Zechariah and Elizabeth were well stricken in years. And look what it says. Verse 6, both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, but they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well on in years. So when Luke's gospel opens, you have a closed heaven, and you have a closed womb. And then something else is closed. It wasn't closed at the beginning of the gospel, but it closes very quickly. Because the angel comes to Zechariah and tells him that his wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a son. And Zechariah doesn't believe the angel. And so the angel says, your mouth is going to be closed until the baby is born. So for at least 9 months, Zechariah's mouth is closed. So when you see Luke's gospel, so many things are closed when he starts writing. But the tide is about to change in a most powerful, exciting, and dramatic way. So, let us look at verse 8. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. We haven't got time to stop there, but I just want you to keep that in your mind. God is about to break through after 400 years. And what are the people doing? They're praying. Isn't that great? And we'll come on to that later on. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer, got it? Your prayer has been heard. Your wife will bear you a son, and you're to give him the name John. And look what it says at the end of verse 15. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. The next thing that happens is, you might say, even more miraculous, if that's possible. The angel goes to this despised town or village called Nazareth and appears to this young lass called Mary. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how old she is, but it's reckoned that she was probably in her mid-teens. So she was a young lass. And if you look at verse 31, the angel says to her, Mary, you are going to be with child and give birth to a son. Verse 34. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So do you get the sense that things are warming up? Nothing has happened for 400 years. No prophet. No word from the Lord. And here an old lady who is well past childbearing age, she's going to have a son. And here's a virgin. Humanly impossible for her to have a baby. And the angel said, you're going to have a baby. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And it gets better. And it gets more exciting. Because look at verse 39. I think we had reference to this morning. At that time, Mary got ready. And she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. We've only started the chapter, and we've read about the Holy Spirit 3 times already. And we've just begun. And Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. And look at 44. She said, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. So what I've written here, well, before I come into what I've written here, the next thing that happens is what Pete was talking about this morning. Because Mary herself is filled with the Spirit, and under the influence of the Spirit of God, she bursts out into prophetic song. So what I've written here, folks, is this. This really ought to encourage us. After 400 years of silence from heaven and spiritual desert, we find the barren womb bearing fruit. We find the virgin conceiving and being with child. We find a baby leaping in a womb for joy. Could you imagine it? And we find these two women, one an old woman, well stricken in years, and the other a teenage lass, and we find both these women filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not me saying it, the scripture records that. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they uttered prophetic words, and they praised God. Do you see what happens when God comes? Things begin to happen, don't they? And then comes the time for Elizabeth's baby to be born. So we're getting near Valerie. But look at verse 62 just before Valerie comes. So remember, 9 months have gone by. Zechariah's not been able to speak. And so they make signs to his dad, the baby's dad, you know, what's his name to be? So he asks for a writing tablet, and to everybody's amazement, he writes his name is John. And look what it says. Immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue was loosed. Isn't that great? Reminds me of John Wesley's hymn, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." And he began to speak, praising God. And look at 67. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Folks, I don't know if you're excited. I'm excited. I have read this a dozen times in the last 2 weeks. And every time I read it, I'm thrilled. 400 years and nothing. And now we have an old woman filled with the Spirit and prophesying. Here we have a virgin filled with the Spirit and prophesying and praising God. And here we have an old man. What happens to him? He's filled with the Spirit. And he bursts out into prophetic song. And Valerie is going to come and read this wonderful song to us. Thanks, Valerie.
Said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation comes from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Valerie. Now, let me see what we've written now. Here's a question. Do you suppose, we'll use the expression during his working life as a priest, do you suppose that Zechariah ever imagined for a moment the day would come that he would utter a prophetic message under the prompting and guidance of the Spirit of God, a message that would be full of hope and deliverance and promise that people would be reading all over the world 2,000 years later? Do you think he ever thought that would be possible? That's what happens when God comes. See? And then I've written here, brothers and sisters, there is wonderful news for us tonight. Listen to this. There's nobody in this room too old or too young to be touched by, to be filled with, and to be anointed by the Spirit of God. I think that's worth saying again. Not because I made it up, because it's just such a wonderful truth. You got it? There's nobody in this room tonight too old. There's nobody too young to be touched by, filled with, empowered by, and anointed with the Spirit of God. Look at Seth. Folks, don't despise children. I believe with all my heart, right, that God in our day and generation can fill children with his Spirit and use them to accomplish his purposes. And if you don't believe me, think of Samuel. Samuel was a little boy surrounded by priests and high priests. And who did God use? Who did God speak to? Second thing, nobody in this room is too old or too young to be an instrument in God's hands to accomplish his will and purpose. Right, so let's move on. Now, I'm remembering there's a youth group, David, so don't worry. But I can't miss this out, because we've been thinking about a closed heaven, haven't we? Come with me to chapter 2, verse 8. 400 years, heaven closed. It's nighttime. It says it's nighttime. There's shepherds out on the hills looking after the sheep, and it's dark. Suddenly, do you know what happens? Heaven is opened. Isn't that wonderful? And an angel of the Lord appears. And as the angel is speaking, suddenly, woof, the sky is filled with a choir of angels. Can you imagine what that must have looked like? Just imagine in Tingwall, Isabel, sitting at your house looking across the, you know, to the other side of the loch yonder, and the sky at night being filled with angels. Quite remarkable. But then let's come to Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. I mean, it's like a roller coaster, this. Right? After Jesus is born, 8 days after he's born, they bring him up to Jerusalem to get circumcised. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. You'll never guess. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Isn't that wonderful? 400 years of silence. Holy Spirit upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit. And folks, tonight I would love to tell you, I've told you, some of you before, I would love to tell you the story how an old man in his 80th year was moved across a hospital ward under the power of the Holy Spirit in Edinburgh to minister to a guy who was weak. That's for another day. But just think of this old man, filled with the Spirit, moved by the Spirit, and he opens his mouth in prophetic words over the Savior. And then you come down to verse 37, and there's this dear old lady called Anna. Well in her 80s, if not older. And what does she do? It says she never left the temple. Never left it. But day and night, she fasted and prayed. And she spoke about the child to all who looked for redemption in Israel. And then there is a wee bit of a lull. And we're beginning to need a break, aren't we? Because I can't keep up with all this, quite honestly. And there's a lull for 30 years. And then come with me to Luke chapter 3, verse 21. This beautiful verse. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized as well. And you'll never guess what he was doing. When he was in the water, he was praying. And what happened when he prayed? Two things happened. Heaven opened. Been closed for 400 years, folks. And Jesus is standing in the water, being baptized. And you'll never guess who appears. Anybody want to tell me? The Holy Spirit appears and descends upon him. Don't you feel a sense of thrill and excitement? This wonderful trinity of prayer, the Holy Spirit, and an open heaven. It's a beautiful thing. So I've written here, are you beginning to get the picture? An open heaven, the Holy Spirit everywhere, people worshipping and praising God in a way that was completely new to them. They'd never known how it was to praise God in that way before. Men and women, old and young, being filled with the Spirit, praising God, prophesying, babies leaping in the womb for joy, and even angels appearing in heaven, praising God. And there's more. Come on, Seth, you come and read your bit to us. There's even more. Yeah, this microphone okay for you?
Yeah.
That's it.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. Then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor."
Thank you, Seth. And so here's Jesus. It says he's full of the Spirit. He's led by the Spirit. He returned in the power of the Spirit. And he's anointed by the Spirit. Folks, I timed this message to last half an hour. I can promise you. And it's nearly half past. Oh dear, I got that one wrong. Anyway, let's put on the first picture, Kerry. Now, that's Priscilla with Catherine, Jennifer in Edinburgh, and Mary's in the pushchair. But the reason I've put that up is not to show you my family, because that's the village of Nain. Okay? Luke 7, Jesus is walking into Nain. And as he's walking into Nain, a funeral procession's coming out. And a widow has lost her only son. Jesus sees what's going on, stops the procession, touches the coffin, says to the lad, get up, hands him back to his mother. We can put on the first text. This is the authorized version. I love it. Then the people were filled with awe, and they glorified God, saying, the Lord has visited his people. Folks, I've written this down for us. God has not changed. God is the same today as he was then. His love, his grace, his power, his mercy are no different today to what they were 2,000 years ago. And God is able to do in our day and generation what he did in Zechariah and Elizabeth's day and generation. How many of you were in the celebration choir when David McQueen was our illustrious conductor? A few. Let's have the next song, the next text. This was my favorite. Let's read it. I felt a new and loving touch upon my heart and soul. I felt God's love and amazing power descend and make me whole. Isn't that wonderful? Next bit, it's a miracle. A miracle, God's Holy Spirit came. And I am not the same, for he touched me and filled me with his love. Folks, can you think of anything grander? Can you think of anything better than to be filled with the love and the compassion and the grace and the mercy and the power of our God? Can you think of anything more wonderful than that? Now, even although I'm running out of time, I did have some effort with this, so I'm going to have to do this. Be ashamed to go home and not show you. This jar is full of stones from all over Shetland beaches. And if anybody wants to know what they are, Ruth is very good at this. So just have a wee word to her if you want to know what the rocks are. Right. Here is a jar that is full of this water represents the water of life. It represents the Holy Spirit. And the reason I've brought a basin is because I'm going to put this in. And watch, I don't know if you'll see this set, but watch. It's full and running over. Do you remember the old chorus? Right. This jar has also got the water of life in it. But which one is full of water? This one or this one? Yeah. This one is full of bruck. We'll call it bruk, right? And because there's so much bruk, it limits how much of the water of life is in it. Now, I'm going to ask you now, which jar represents you? Where are you? This is not a condemnatory message. This is a message of liberty. Folks, where are you? Where do you want to be? I'll tell you where I want to be, and I can say this with all my imperfections, as you can ask Priscilla. I'll tell you where I want to be. I want to be full and running over with the Spirit of God. Don't you? Amen. Paul writes to the Hebrews, and he said, well, a man wrote to the Hebrews. We'll assume it was a man, right? A person wrote to the Hebrews, and he said this, let us throw off and get rid of everything that hinders. And the sin that so easily entangles. Note the difference. We all know sins, don't we? Sexual sin, pride, uncontrolled behavior, fits of rage, self-centeredness, Galatians 5, right? There's a lot of things that are not in themselves sinful, but can take the place of God in our lives, right? And Paul says, or whoever wrote the Hebrews says, get rid of all that stuff and allow, I love that word, allow the Holy Spirit to fill and permeate every corner of your life. Right, I'm just about done. Three things I want to encourage you to pray for. I want to encourage you tonight to pray that in our day and generation, times of refreshing will come from God. And folks, don't let go of God until it happens. I mean that. Right? Grab God's feet and say, Father, I'm not letting you go until you send times of refreshing. Pray that once again, God in his sovereign grace will visit his people. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you like to be like these folk, just to be standing in awe, watching God at work? And the third thing is, I'm going to ask you to pray that there will be a mighty movement of God's Spirit in Lerwick Baptist Church. Okay? You know the still pool? Absolutely calm, flat. You take a pebble and you get the ripples going out. Folks, wouldn't it be wonderful if the Spirit of God so came upon this place that the blessing would go out to every other church in Shetland and to all the folks who don't know Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful? This is really the last, but I can't stop without mentioning it. Now, some of you will remember Priscilla sharing from this card on a Sunday morning, maybe a month ago or something like that, right? When she was in Edinburgh for a few weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, she sent me this card. It was a picture of a sailing boat with the sails up, and you can see the wind brewing. It says this, we cannot direct the wind, but we can adjust the sails. Now, we can put up the last clip. And this is what Priscilla wrote inside, but I want you to see it here. She wrote this, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit blows like a wind. But we don't know where it comes from or goes to. So we need to be ready to catch it. There should be another bit. No? Yeah. How tragic it would be if our sails were not set properly so we didn't catch the wind when the Holy Spirit passes by. Another thought came to me, we need to be in the boat as well. Now, I'm going to say something to you. I don't say this very often, but I'm going to say this to you. I believe that was a word from God. As soon as it came to me, ooh, it was a word from God. Not just for me, for you, for us, for the church. And you know what struck me about that more than anything else? She didn't say, so we can catch the wind if the Holy Spirit passes by. She says, catching the wind when? Folks, it's not a case of if, it's a case of when. Right? And I believe with all my heart tonight that God is going to visit his people. I really, really believe that. And I want to encourage you as an individual, and I want to encourage us as a church. Let us set the sails so that when the Spirit of God passes by, we catch the wind. Well, we haven't got time to sing our final song. I'll tell you what it was. Oh, for a mighty revival. Oh, for a sanctified, fearless band ready to hail its arrival. But that will have to be put off till another time. So let's pray. Father, we praise you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Father, we're excited. Lord, our hearts are full of anticipation. And Father, we believe with all our hearts tonight that what you did 2,000 years ago, Lord, you can do in our day and generation. Father, Jacob said, he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Father, that's the spirit that we have in our hearts tonight. Lord, we cannot let you go until you visit your people in our day and our generation. So folks, the Lord bless you, be with you. The Lord lift up the light of his face on you, and may he give you his grace and his peace. Amen.